We're continuing this morning in our all-in sermon series. You can see it on the screen. And, you know, we've had a lot of messages in all-in. As a matter of fact, I had debated on whether to preach the last few messages, and God confirmed in my heart that he gave me the messages for a reason. So the ones that we have, you know, I want to revisit this morning so we can kind of bring them back to the front of our mind is, you know, we had talked about in the all-in sermon series about the widow's offering, that God wants us to be all-in when it comes to our money. You know, Brother Mike Biscom came at a very timely time. You know, I don't know how many of you were here for the sign guy, Mike Biscom. He came and you know, he gave us all a sign to put in our yard. And I'm now that guy with signs all around my house. And, you know, it says, prepare to meet thy God. I love those signs, and people, it impacts people's lives. But I think that God wants us to be all in. He wants us to tell people what we stand for. He wants people to understand what the truth is. And listen, the word of God will change your life. Come on. Can I get a witness?
Come on.
Yeah. So listen, we heard some messages that Peter taught us about being all in. You know, that Peter was a great example of not letting the world hold you back. That Peter was a great example of not letting your past determine your future. Right? We even heard a message from 1 Peter that Peter was telling us, it was in 2 Peter, that Peter was telling us that we shouldn't leave this world without making sure that our children and the people that we love can follow God without us. That we must be all in to make sure that people around us, not just us, right, just not the way we live and the way that we use our money and the way that we use our resources and the way that we're in the Word, that we should be all in for Jesus, but we should also be all in for the people that are around us. That even when we're gone, that we're making sure that people around us can make sure that they can follow God even when we're not there. You know, last week for Mother's Day, we had an all-in, and there's not a better message than Martha and Mary for Mother's Day, because Mary was sitting there and she was all-in at Jesus' feet. You know, we had a great message in the all-in sermon series last week, but today we're going to continue in the all-in sermon series, and our message today is have faith like a child. She'll put it on the screen, have faith like a child. I tell you, if there was ever somebody who was all in, it's children, right? In our lives, I mean, if you think about being a child, whenever back, however long ago that was for you, or you might even be a child in this room, but I tell you, as children, we are much more able to understand what someone is telling us, to take things at their face value, to try not to over-communicate or overthink. And listen, this morning, Jesus wants to tell us. He wants us to understand that we must have childlike faith, that he wants us to have faith like a child. If you have your Bible this morning, I'd love for you to turn to Matthew chapter 18 in verses 1 through 6.
Word.
While y'all turn to Matthew 18, I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Father, that you would explain to us. Father, just remove our pride. Let us understand what it's like to have childlike faith again. Father, I know that this can impact our lives. So I just pray that we would be able to hear the message that you have for our heart. And I pray it in Jesus' name. You know, whenever you're a kid, I know I heard it a lot whenever I was a young man, and it was, you know, it went something like this. Brad, will you just grow up? Will you just grow up? Is there anybody else ever experienced that?
Amen.
Or how about, you know, yeah, I wish you would grow up. That's another good one you might have heard when you was a kid. I wish you would grow up. And it's funny, too, if you ever think about the fact that we all as children want to grow up. We all want to grow up as a kid, but then when you get to be an adult, it's like, man, I wish I could be a kid again. Amen. Isn't that funny how that works? I think we all can communicate. So children, if you're here, y'all are the only ones that can win in this. Y'all need to listen. If you're a kid in the room, enjoy being a kid, because when you get older, right, you're only going to want to be a kid again. So quit wishing your childhood away. Enjoy it.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I can remember a time in my life where I thought that anybody over the age of 30 was old. you remember that. I mean, there was a time, you know, even whenever you're real young, that whenever, you know, 20, it's like, wow, you're 20, you know? But I think perspective changes everything. But this morning, you know, as we read in God's Word, what Jesus is trying to get us to understand is how do we grow up and still have faith like a child? Right? So Jesus is trying to get us to a point to where we can understand that even though we're growing old, that our faith needs to still be like that of a child. So it's kind of a reversal of the world. And there's so many things in our All In sermon series. If you think back at all the sermons that we've had, when it comes to being all in for Jesus, almost every time it's the opposite of what the world would say. Right? Kingdom things and kingdom principles are totally different than what the world's principles say that you should do. Our culture says one thing, but the kingdom says another.
Amen.
This morning I want to read to us Matthew 18, 1 through 6. Matthew 18, 1 through 6. If you'd stand with me in honor of God's word. At the time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "So who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child and he said to him standing among them, "Truly, I tell you," he said, "unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one child like this in my name welcomes me. But whoever causes one of these little ones and who believes in me to fall away, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone, if a heavy millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea." You may be seated. You know, we'll start in verse 1 and we'll kind of progress this morning through the verses and we'll kind of teach as we go. But I love verse 1. You know, it might even be titled in your Bible, "Who is the Greatest?" Right? It's talking about childlike faith. It's talking about having faith like a child, but it's probably labeled in your Bible, "Who is the Greatest?" In verse 1, I love what they ask. It's the disciples. Man, these guys always amaze me, right? It wasn't long before this that for the first time in Caesarea Philippi, he tells the disciples that, listen, he will be betrayed, that he will be beaten, that he will be crucified, and that he will rise again. Right, he's already told them that. They know that this is about to happen. And then for the second time, he tells them again just a few verses before this. That he tells them the truth. And these guys know what the outcome is. But I love what they ask. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, So who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I mean, come on, guys. I mean, really? That would be like me going to the doctor and I have got some news and it's terrible news. Right? I'm like, look, you know, I'm facing this outcome. You know, this and this could happen. You know, I may or may not be able to survive. And you're like, man, that's powerful. Can I have your car? I mean, think about what they're asking, right? I mean, Jesus is pouring out his heart to them. He's trying to get them to where he is so that they can understand the impact of what's going on. And what are these guys worried about? They're worried about who the pecking order, right? Who's the greatest? I mean, I love these guys, and I also love Jesus' reaction, because nobody else, because Jesus knows their heart too. Can you imagine if it was you and you knew their heart, but you're not Jesus? I mean, can you imagine what that would be like? I mean, it's like he knows what their motive is. He knows what they're asking, and you can only imagine he's shaking his head as they're asking, "Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And if you write in your Bible, I would ask you to underline the word who in verse 1. Because that's really what they're asking. Right? The word who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. They're not worried about Jesus. The who is focused on who? Me. The word who. But Jesus, in the fashion that he always does, and listen, he answers the question, but when Jesus talks, you got to pay close attention. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus begins to talk, and in verse 2, you almost don't see that he's answering the question, but it says that he calls a child and had him stand among them. Right, Jesus, very fast, he knows their motive, he knows their heart, and he sees a child who's a little bit far away, and he calls the little child over and he says, come here a minute. And he gets the child over there standing right there beside him. And he uses that child. He says, come here, I want you to talk to us for a moment. And he kind of lets all of the disciples kind of focus in on the child who's standing there before he addresses them. And in verse 3, he begins to answer the question but doesn't answer it fully. In verse 3, he says, you see this child, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, I believe that Jesus wants us to be childlike, but not childish. Right? Whenever he's saying, unless you become, and it's kind of hard for them to understand. They've asked him a question, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus, like he always does, uses something around him to answer the question. He calls the child over and he says, unless you become like this child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And listen, if you take notes, I want you to write that down, that Jesus wants us to be childlike and not childish. Okay, he wants us to walk in faith, but he also calls us to be the men and women that he's called us to be.
Amen.
Right? He wants our faith to be that, like that of a child. And let me tell you why. Children have a sense of awe and wonder. He brings that child over there in the middle of them, and he lets them focus in on him, on that child. I don't know if it was a young man or a young lady, but if you're taking notes, you should write this down, that child has a sense of awe and wonder. Have you ever noticed that a child can teach you to be happy for no reason? I mean, a child can be happy for the right reasons. A child can know that they're taken care of. A child can know that it's okay to be happy. You know, a child can let circumstances be pushed aside and be happy to be driving down the road with you. Have you ever noticed that? That a child can do that in your life. He brings that child over and he knows that child has awe and wonder. And I believe that is connected to the kingdom. That unless we have awe and wonder of who Jesus is, and if we don't have awe and wonder of our salvation, if we don't have awe and wonder of what God is doing in our life, if we don't have awe and wonder when we see him wrap people all the way around a telephone pole and bring $5,000 to adopt children, and he's called some people in our church to adopt, then we will never get in the kingdom of heaven. Come on. You know, I'll tell you this morning, if you ever go to Disney World, don't take an adult with you. Right? Because most adults have been to Disney World at one point, but all you'll hear from an adult is, man, back in when I came, you know, we didn't have all this E-pad stuff, and we didn't have this. The lines weren't so long. You know, it was this way, it was that way. And, you know, don't take it. If you go to Disney, we're going to go next year. Every 5 years, we take our kids. So next year, Ellie will be 7, and it's her turn to go. But I'm going to tell you, you don't take. Hey, Disney World, you don't take an adult. You take a kid with you. Because, listen, a child, when they get to Disney World, they're amazed. You know, even that song, it's a whole new world. Right? Everything, right? That's their song for a reason, right? They get there, and it's like everything at Disney World is brand new. It's amazing. But you take somebody that you know that's the same age as you to Disney World, that's not going to be the same experience that you have. So I just want to tell you that Jesus, He wants us to understand that we need to be childlike, not childish. And the reason we need to be childlike is not because we get out of the things that we're supposed to take care of in our lives, but our faith comes from a pure heart that is based on a sense of awe and wonder. If you're taking notes this morning, there's another one I want you to write down. And it's the fact that childlike faith is a heavenly gift. Childlike faith is a heavenly gift. And blessed are the receivers who have a pure heart. Childlike faith is a heavenly gift. Listen, you will never have that sense of awe and wonder unless your faith is childlike.
Amen.
And blessed, if when you have that childlike faith, when it comes only from the Lord, the only way you'll ever have it as well is to set yourself aside, to set your pride aside, to accept God's word at face value, to accept what He's trying to tell you, to accept what He's doing in your life, to know that you're walking in faith, that you will be blessed with childlike faith as a heavenly gift, and it'll only happen when you receive it because of a pure heart.
Come on.
That's a mouthful, but I want to tell you that the key to that is taking it and accepting that He is God and you are not. That He is God and you are not. The only way that you're going to have a pure heart is knowing without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, that God is who He says He is, that Jesus came and He died for your sins, and that He is giving you everything you need.
Amen.
Childlike faith is a heavenly gift. And blessed are the receivers who have a pure heart. Saying, you know what? I accept Jesus. I accept the gift that He is my Savior. And I'm going to accept the Word of God at its face value. That I'm going to pursue God with my whole heart. Let's continue. Jesus answers their question directly in verse 4. Let's look at verse 4. He says, therefore. Anytime you see a therefore in Scripture, you need to look and see what it's there for. Amen? Therefore, comma. Whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If you underline in your Bible, the who and whoever, this is Jesus answering His question. And listen, you would read right over it if you're not paying attention. But Jesus calls the child over. He tells him to be childlike, not childish. That this child unless you become like this child, unless you have a sense of awe and wonder, is what He's saying. Then he continues by answering His question directly. Become like this child. A sense of awe and wonder. And then He says, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Do you see it? Now He's answering the disciples directly. Here is your answer. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He calls the child over. They're probably wondering, what are you saying? And He says, if you become like this child, you get in the kingdom of heaven. They're probably still in verse 3. They're probably still like, what in the world are you talking about? And then it clicks home because now in verse 4, He's answering the question. Therefore, whoever humbles himself. Don't miss this. If you're taking notes, please write it down. Childlike faith comes from humility. Childlike faith comes from humility. Jesus Himself is telling us right here in red letters in chapter 18 of Matthew. He is telling us that we must humble ourselves like this child. You know, I think that Jesus knows that children are all in. You know, the word humble can have a lot of meanings, right? Whenever we think about people that are humble that we know. But in this application, when Jesus is saying, humble yourself like a child, that you will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I don't know about you, but I'd love to be called that. Greatest in the kingdom of heaven, just like those disciples. Like, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He's like, this is how you can be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That you can humble yourself. And once again, that's totally opposite of what the world says. Kingdom ways says humble yourselves. But the world says, the culture we live in says serve yourself. It'll be okay. You deserve this. You deserve to be first. You deserve to, you know, to treat yourself. Whatever it is. But our culture says it's all about I. But the kingdom says humble yourself like a child. What does that mean? What does that mean? Jesus knows that a child is all in because he's humble. He knows that a child knows that all of his needs are met by his parents. I want you to think about that. A child looks at his parents, his or her parents, and they know that this is how I eat. Right? This is how I sleep. When I can't get to bed at night, right, that my mother, my father comes and they tuck me in. A child knows that this is how I get dressed. This is where my clean clothes come from. Listen, even the way I travel to and from everything that I do, that I'm totally dependent, don't miss that word, dependent on you.
Amen. Come on.
That's what Jesus is saying. Unless you become like this child and you humble yourself, that I am not God and you are, that I need you, that I know that you give me everything that I have, that you give me everything that I need, that I'm able to eat, that I'm able to sleep, that I'm able to wake up in the morning, that I'm able to do all the things that I do, that I'm able to be blessed by getting in a car and going where I go, right? Can I get a witness?
Come on.
Every single thing in our lives, he's saying, humble yourself. It's not about you. It's not you. And I think children are a great example. You know, I think that Jesus is also telling us that this child is a great example, that this child is humble, that we need to look at that. But he's also telling us, if we pay attention, that we can humble ourselves in this life or we can be humiliated. We can humble ourselves in this life. I don't know if anybody in this room wants to be humiliated. That's an awful harsh word for a sermon, I know. But it's true. We can humble ourselves and we can acknowledge that he's God and we're not, or we can be humiliated.
Amen.
James 4:10. You don't have to turn there. It'll be on the screen. It says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, in our lives, we can humble ourselves. We can say, you know what, God, I do have childlike faith. I do believe that you are the owner of everything, that you give me all that I have. We can acknowledge him. We can humble ourselves before the Lord, or we can choose to go our own way, choose to try to provide and do all the things in this life on our own. And there will eventually, y'all listen to me, there will eventually be circumstances in your lives that will show you that you're not as capable as you thought you were.
Come on.
So in our lives, we can humble ourselves or we can be humiliated. We can humble ourselves or we can be humiliated. You know, he's trying to tell us, he's trying to give us an attitude change to humble yourselves like this child. Quit worrying about being first or who is the greatest, like the world would tell you. And he's saying, if you humble yourself now, you'll be exalted in due time. that you will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And the way to do that is by acknowledging Him. In verses 5 and 6, He gives us a promise and He gives us a warning. In verses 5 and 6, a promise and a warning. In verse 5, He says, "And whoever welcomes one child like this in my name welcomes me." You know, it's kind of hard to understand at first glimpse. I'm thinking, man, what a picture of adoption, what we were experiencing yesterday. You know, welcome a child in my name. I mean, what a great picture. Just like God welcomes us, that He gives His one and only Son so that we could not perish but have everlasting life. Right? What a picture. Adoption is so close to the picture of what God does in our lives, that we are accepted and we're loved and we're taken in for really no gain of His own. Right? Just like for an adoptive parent. I love that. And in verse 5, He's saying, whoever welcomes one child like this in my name welcomes me. But I love the promise too. When you really look at it close, it's a promise of blessing. That you will be rewarded as if you have received the Messiah Himself.
Amen.
I want you to look at it. As if you have welcomed the Messiah Himself. Whenever, listen, Jesus loved children. In many, many, many places in Scripture, especially in the Gospels, you can see clearly that Jesus loves children. In Mark chapter 10, but also in Luke chapter 18, it's the same account. You can turn there if you like, it'll be on the screen. Luke 18, 15 to 17. Luke 18, 15 to 17. Jesus, it says, people were bringing infants to Him, to Jesus, so that He might touch them. There'd be a blessing. And you would learn that in Mark 10 that they're infants. In Luke 18, He calls them little children, but it's the exact same account. And they're bringing their infant children to Him that Jesus might touch them and bless them. But it says here, it says, when the disciples saw it, they rebuked the people. Jesus, however, invited them, "Let the little children come to me and don't stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." He's telling the people, listen, or the disciples, don't block them from coming in. As a matter of fact, you can learn from these. I love the word "such." As Jesus speaks, He says, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. He's given the same message that we're learning this morning in Matthew in chapter 18. That listen, the kingdom belongs to those who humble themselves. That we will never be able to enter the kingdom of heaven unless we realize that we're poor in spirit. You know, I don't know if you would recall, this morning there was a lot of people in Sunday school talking about all of the similarities to the fish fry yesterday and Jesus feeding the 5,000. That Jesus, you know, I'm sure this morning that we bypassed $5,000, right? And that Jesus brought $5,000 for the fish fry, for the adoption fundraiser, that Jesus provided all the things that we needed. I mean, I love the fact that He can make something out of nothing.
Come on.
Amen. Come on. But I also love the fact that when you think about that account of Jesus feeding the 5,000, who had the fish and the bread?
A child.
That fed all of those people. When He called that little person, He said, "Come over here, come here, come here." Kind of the same thing. He calls that little child, probably around Ellie's age, that had the little fish and the little bread, and says, "Bring that over here, let me see that." And He multiplies that food and that fish and that bread for all of those people. I love the fact that even yesterday, there was another thing in Sunday school this morning, that we had exactly enough to feed every person in line, and then there was a few pieces left over just for the people that were standing around that were cooking. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, how? How does that happen? Only God can do that. Back to verse 6. Jesus did love children, and Jesus loved them for the fact that they had faith. That they could listen and they could understand and they would hear exactly what they needed to hear and they would trust Him with the rest. Did you hear that? That children will listen and hear what they need to hear and they'll trust Jesus with the rest. Verse 6. But whoever causes one of these to stumble. It's a warning. One of these little ones who believe in me to fall away. It would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and were drowned in the depths of the sea. You know, once again, that's kind of hard to understand, like verse 5. It kind of sounds like it's off subject. But y'all listen, he's given us a warning. He's telling us that each and every person, even in this room, are examples. Y'all write this down. Jesus is telling us that we are all examples. Each and every one of us. And you might say, listen, I don't have kids. There's people watching me. It may be your boss. It may be the people that work for you. It may be the person working beside you. It could be other children in the church. We are all examples. Amen. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 tells us to imitate me as I also imitate Christ. You know, Paul would tell you, and I love that verse, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. If you have the King James, that 1 Corinthians 11:1 would say, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. Follow me as I follow Christ. Y'all stay with me here. Jesus is telling us, whoever causes one of these to stumble, whoever causes one of them to fall away, it would be better for you to have a millstone hung around your neck and be thrown into the depths of the sea. Paul is saying, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul is saying, listen, that when we emulate Christ, that people will be attracted to the kingdom, that they will know the truth, and that they will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So I want to end this sermon in asking you a question. You know I love to ask questions. And the question is, what if every Christian acted like you this morning? And what would our church be like? What if every Christian in our church acted just like you? That's a heavy question. But what if every believer in the church attended like you attend? What if every believer and non-believer worship like you worship? Would our sanctuary be filled with people raising their voice, or would it be silent as someone played? What if every believer and non-believer shared the gospel like you do? Would people be getting saved? Right? Would you know, if every believer in our church told people about what God was doing in their life like you do, would anybody hear anything? And if every believer in our church gave like you give, what would our church look like? You know, Paul is telling us to follow me as I follow Christ. Jesus in chapter 18 of Matthew is telling us that we must not let anyone, we must not cause any of these to stumble, that we're each and every one of us are an example, whether we like it or not. And I'm asking this morning, what would our church be like if all Christians acted like you? Would our church be described as being all in? That's what our sermon series is, All In. I think that's a great lead-in to our invitation. And I would ask another question for our invitation today. Do you have faith like a child? So I'd like to address threefold in our invitation today. I want to have kind of three different invitations, and I want to start with our mature believers. If you're in this room and you consider yourself to be a mature believer, if you consider yourself to be a Christ follower, I would like for you to know and understand that childlike faith is something that a mature Christian needs to keep his entire life.
Amen.
Here's the invitation. For every mature believer in this room, I want you to see this as the truth. That childlike faith, you never become above this message. That Jesus is telling us that we must have the faith of a child. So mature believer in the room, childlike faith is something that a mature Christian needs to keep his entire life. So here's a prayer. I'd love for you to write it down. It's a prayer that, that your invitation, a mature believer in the room, this your invitation today is to write this prayer. For you to pray this, God grant me the faith of a child who trusts without questioning and who simply and gladly believes your word without doubt. And we're going to leave that up there for a moment. God grant me the faith of a child who trusts without questioning, who simply and gladly believes. I love that. You know, no questioning. I think as we grow older in our lives, we automatically start gaining knowledge. And by gaining knowledge, we start to add to and make things something that they're not. We try to add to our own sense to what someone else is telling us. But Jesus wants us to simply and gladly believe the word without doubting. The next invitation is to the new believer in the room. New believer, I would tell you, if you've not been a Christian long, if you've not been at church very long, if you've been saved even in these walls, then I would ask you this morning, are you being fed often? Right? A child needs to be fed. A child needs to know what and where they depend on. So this morning I'm asking, if you're a new believer, do you get fed often? You need nourishment like a small child. You need it often. You know, we have Sunday school, we have Sunday morning, we have Sunday night, we have Wednesday night. And I know that it's hard to make all of those things, but listen to me. The enemy does not want you, new believer in this room, he does not want you here. He does not want you here often. But I promise you, as sure as I stand where I'm standing, that you need to be nourished, that you need to be fed, that you need to be in church. And each and every new believer in this room, you need Sunday school, you need accountability, you need people praying with you, you need people praying for you. You need people telling you and expositing the word to you so that you can understand and you can be fed like a child.
Amen.
New believer in the room. This morning, Dusty's going to come back and he's going to play lightly. And I just want to give an opportunity this morning that you may say, you know, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've never prayed. I've never told God that I accept the free gift of His Son. that I believe that Jesus came and died for my sin, and Steve just left. He had to go back to work. But I would tell you that if you have never asked Jesus into your heart, that you can settle it today. That, listen, that Jesus told us the key to having childlike faith is humbling yourself. It's simply just saying, you know what, you are God and I am not, and the only way of salvation is Jesus Christ and Jesus alone.
Come on.
You can settle it today. You can be like a child and say, you know what, I do believe. I do believe the Word of God. I do believe that Jesus is the way. I believe that I am a sinner and that Christ died for my sins. There's no sweeter truth than that. When you come to the end of yourself, when you set your pride aside and you say, you know what, I accept salvation. Today can be the day. So this morning, to the unsaved person in the room, I would ask you, will you humble yourself today and come and tell the world that you believe? If you've never walked the aisle, there's going to be a song being played in a moment, and Brother Bob will be here, and I'll be standing here. And if you've never came forward during an invitation, even if you know that Jesus is your Savior, you need to come forward like a child and say, you know what? I believe. And I want the world to know it.